What do you think?
I think we're dead meat. Real dead meat.
You're dead meat! Go ahead and laugh, you guys. If I ever find a little passes of business, you're dead meat.
Welcome to the Dead Meat Podcast, an extension of the YouTube channel Dead Meat. I'm James.
I'm Chelsea, and we're boyfriend and girlfriend, and we like to get scared together.
Yeah, scared. Or watch movies like this together.
Yeah, so today we have a movie for you that I said we were going to do as a bonus review. We did not. We did not review this while it was in theaters.
I'm glad we didn't give this movie money when it was in theaters.
Fair.
It made a lot of money.
It did. I was reading that this morning. But I think we're all the better for not doing it as a bonus episode because this format I can put in clips. Because
that's true.
We own this film.
We also had, I did give this movie money by buying it on Blu-ray.
That's true.
But yeah, we also had to pause it several times throughout our viewing because we had to write down so much. I have like four pages of notes.
So many notes.
I felt like I was taking like an exam during this. I just never stopped writing. This movie, guys, truth or dare.
It was just breakneck note-taking speeds, and not even because the movie's that complicated.
No, it's just because there was so much
batshit crazy going on. There was so much dumb shit going on every second. It didn't stop. I can't think of many movies where we had to pause them to just write stuff down.
Probably Maximum Overdrive.
I think Maximum Overdrive is one.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen usually. Holy Man. Shit. So if you don't know Truth or Dare, it came out earlier this year, starring Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars.
Yes, from Pretty Little Liars. Well-renowned actress Lucy Hale, who everyone knows and loves Lucy Hale.
Yes.
Also featured in the beginning of Scream 4 as an actress that everyone knew at the time. And so it was shocking to see her die.
Yes.
Those are my statements on the matter.
Yes. Yeah, James covered Scream 4 in the kill count.
Yeah, back then, I didn't know who Lucy Hale was.
And I wouldn't expect you to.
And you didn't know either.
Oh, I didn't?
No, because we watched that shit together and we were both like, well, they're unknown actresses.
Oh.
So, it of course, it's not real. And then I said that in the kill count and everyone was like, Pretty Little Liars. Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry. I'm a 28-year-old man back then. In my youth.
So this is a Blumhouse picture. Yeah.
This is one of those Blumhouse joints.
It made a ton of money.
It did,
I think,
pretty well.
I read it made more than the first Purge did, and it made more than, I want to say, it was another Blumhouse, maybe Annabelle or something.
Well, I feel like it's not even the gross that was important. It was made for so cheap.
Yeah.
And then it made as much money as it did. And it you can fucking tell.
It looks cheap.
There's no money.
Down
in this
to
movie.
The fact that they did not hire as many extras as they maybe could fill out some scenes. It looks like film sets.
I think the biggest evidence of it being cheap is that fucking effect with the faces.
The Snapchat filter. Yeah. Which,
God.
According to the IMDb trivia, that look was indeed inspired by Snapchat filters.
Oh, really?
Snapchat
it was
filters.
Inspired by a Snapchat filter? Or, okay, that's a nice way of saying it was a Snapchat filter.
Yeah.
What a stupid fucking thing. Holy shit.
They called it the Willem Dafoe face.
What?
Yeah, I guess it looks a little like Willem Dafoe.
All right.
Yep.
Sure. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia article real fast, and it looks like this was written by a committee. It's got...
Oof. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It says, written by Michael Rise, Jillian Jacobs, Chris Roach, and director Jeff Wadlow. And it feels like it because this movie seems like it was written by a bunch of old people who were like, what do you say?
Oh, yeah.
Tag me in that post. What's that hashtag?
These are lines from the film.
Yeah, there's a lot of that bullshit all throughout here.
Yeah. So the director, was it Jeff Wadlow?
Yeah.
Jeff Wadlow did another film. His first big movie, Cry Wolf.
What's Cry Wolf?
Cry Wolf is the one that I keep saying I really want to do a review about, where it's basically a bunch of college kids playing Mafia online.
Oh, okay.
And they get Bon Jovi's in it.
Bon Jovi's
He's
in it?
He's a professor, I think. I saw it in theaters when it came out, And it's, I've gotten a few emails for like people requesting that movie. So we're going to do it at some point.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
Sure. I never heard of it. I saw he also did Kick-Ass 2.
Kick-Ass 2.
I never saw that.
I didn't see that either.
Who, wasn't there someone cool in that? I know Nick Cage was.
I was
going to
say Nick Cage is the first. I don't know.
He was great in that first one, even though I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah, so do we want to just hop in?
Because
I don't even know.
I fucking guess.
This movie.
I just got to like mentally prepare myself.
I know, same,
to
same, same, same. Because we have so many pages of notes to
it's
go
so
through.
So much, but like, I kind of can't wait to get through this.
I'm very excited. Oh, you know what? I was going to ask you to look up, does this movie have a composer?
Oh,
does it have a composer?
No, it definitely has to have a composer. Someone who like really loves Jack Johnson and just like refused to alter the music they wanted to do.
All of the music in this movie sounds like a reality show, specifically a... maybe a baking reality show where someone accidentally puts salt in their batter instead of sugar, and it's kind of jingly shenanigans music. It's very weird.
Music by Matthew Margeson.
That sounds like a stock music musician.
He's been a frequent collaborator of fellow composer Henry Jackman on films like Kick-Ass 2, Kingsman, and Kingsman 2.
Did he compose this?
It says music by.
I wanted it to be music by Kevin MacLeod so bad. If you don't know Kevin MacLeod, he does all of the stock music, just all of it.
Yeah, if you've ever watched a YouTube video, yeah, you've heard Kevin MacLeod's music.
For sure.
I think one of the Darkest Child, the name of the music in the intro to the Kill
Pass. Is it a Kevin MacLeod?
That's Kevin MacLeod. Do 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 do. Not like the bumping Kills music, but
yeah.
Good Lord. Okay.
Yeah, let's just hop
in. Let's just get
into
it.
There's a lot to this story of Truth or Dare.
If you haven't seen it, maybe watch it.
I think watch it.
I think maybe pause this, watch it.
This is a rare recommend of a bad movie. So Wicker Man, not a recommend.
Don't watch Wicker Man.
Don't watch it. Just watch our review. Watch montages
of
it on YouTube.
Yeah, but there's too much in this movie.
This one, I think, just watch it. Have some friends over.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not so outrageously bad in the way that, I don't know, The Room or Birdemic is.
No.
It's,
But it's not boring bad.
No, it's not.
No.
Which is hard to find sometimes. Sometimes stuff's bad and it's boring.
Yeah, boring bad sucks. Yeah. This is like, sustains its level of badness throughout to an entertaining degree.
Yeah.
So the first scene is by the Mexican border,
mm-hmm.
and there's a very dirty-looking woman.
Yeah, she looks pretty frazzled. She
looks pretty frazzled, beat up, bloody. Giselle.
She's like college age.
Yeah, Giselle.
That's right.
And she's like trying to buy some stuff at a gas station, and mm-hmm. then she like hears the gas station attendant be like, "Truth or Dare."
Yes, and we see the gas station attendant from behind, and mm-hmm. we can kind of see the sides of his face.
Sure,
warp a little bit.
Oh, we don't get it right away, right?
No. We see it later. So he we can hear him ask her truth or dare, and she's crying and says, "I don't want to play anymore." And she eventually gives in, and she walks to the back of the store and grabs some gasoline and a lighter, and
she lights this lady
in the store on fire. And she says, "I'm sorry, I don't have a choice," and lights this lady up.
Yeah.
And this lady runs outside in a burn suit. And then I think cut to title. I think
Truth or Dare. Fun intro.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'm down with that intro.
Sure. Then we cut to our main character, Olivia, played by Lucy Hale. Lucy Hale, famous person, Lucy Hale, who we all know.
Lucy Hale seems like a nice person. You know what?
The real, like, actual Lucy Hale?
I don't know anything about her.
But you
spoiler
get,
alert.
You get.
I get the impression.
I kind of do,
just
too.
Watching this movie, she seems like a nice person.
I think she tried in this.
She tried. The movie is shit. And
the
writing, especially, and her character is so poorly written that there's not much she can do. But she definitely has, like, the screen presence of, like, an actor. And, like, I liked her.
Yeah. I did too.
I liked Lucy Hale, so
yeah.
Good thing that she's in this movie, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know, imagine if if she were as boring as like fucking what's his name, Tyson or whatever.
Oh, Tyson.
Fucking Tyson.
The Patrick Bateman of this film. I think he's secretly a murderer.
Oh, of course. There are hints throughout.
Some white collar murderer.
But like, these names of these characters are so bland.
Oh boy, let's run through. Well, Marky is her best friend. Yeah, what the fuck? M-A-R-K-I-E.
Yeah.
Which all I think of is Biz Markie.
What's that?
The, you got what I need.
And you say you're just a friend. Oh, baby, you.
Anyway, that's the only other Marky I know that's not M-A-R-K-Y. Because that's Marky Mark.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, what if her best friend was Marky Mark?
That'd be cool.
I'd watch that.
Would that make her the Funky Bunch?
Yeah.
Her and Biz Markie could be the Funky Bunch.
Sure. Okay. So we meet Olivia, what, vlogging?
She's vlogging.
Or she's live streaming.
Is she live streaming?
I think so. It looks like a live stream page to me. I would know.
Got it. Yeah. Well, she, it's a weird, I think she just kind of shuts the laptop too when she's done. But
I'm done with this.
Yeah, like, we're done now.
It's the new version of the Hollywood hang up where you hang up a phone without saying bye.
So for a spring break alternative that is really good for the soul, please consider Habitat for Humanity.
She's vlogging or live streaming about Habitat for Humanity and mm-hmm. how amazing it is to go make a difference in the world. And yeah. I'm going on spring break to build houses because yeah. I'm a good character.
She's a good
Damn it.
Person.
Marky Mark comes in yeah. and she immediately starts bitching that her friend is going to go build houses for the poor. What a bitch.
Instead of going down to Mexico with
yeah.
her to get drunk. Yeah.
She says, we've been best friends our whole lives. This is going to be our last time ever.
There are so many lines in this
movie
where it's just like exposition.
Yes. You know we're best friends.
Yeah. And later on, there's a line from, what's his name, Brad, the Asian guy who's like, you may be wondering why I didn't move away from my homophobic father.
Oh, do tell,
yeah.
Brad.
Oh my God. There's so many lines where they're just spelling like out this. The information they want you to know about these characters.
Yes.
So yeah, Marky
starts giving her shit because they have this whole trip to Mexico planned and Lucy Hill / Olivia wants to just go build houses.
Yeah. So what? They're seniors in college.
They're seniors in college. And
because they're like, this is the last time.
This is the last time before adulthood rips us all apart.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? It was over dramatic, but at the same time, fair.
Yeah, dude.
You know, once real life starts, you can't just go to Mexico.
Yeah. You don't get a summer break anymore.
Yeah.
Remember that.
No breaks.
There's no more summer
it's
breaks.
Just work until you die.
That's right. That's what it is.
Yep.
Welcome to the human experience.
Yeah.
But Lucy Hale is still down to build houses, so Marky Mark breaks the news to her that she just fucking...
Surprise! I actually unsigned you up for that trip.
Yeah.
Like a good friend.
Wow.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? I remember when I was in my senior year of college, I signed up for AmeriCorps, and I really wanted to do it. I'm pissed that I... you know, it's a hard thing to get into.
I was going to say AmeriCorps is a legit...
Yeah. And I really wanted to do it. I'm still, like, I'll forever regret not being able to do it. But if I had gotten into it and then a friend came and was like, no,
holy
dude, we need
shit.
You to get drunk. So I dropped you out of AmeriCorps.
That's the end of that friendship.
Yeah,
probably.
For sure. So she apparently told Habitat for Humanity that Lucy Hale got shingles.
Shingies. Olivia's got shingies.
How serious is the shingles?
It's pretty. I mean,
because we were just...
I don't know if you're going to die from shingles, but
it hurts.
We just had a friend who had shingles, a.k.a. Shingies.
Shingies.
We called it shingies. And...
But he called himself Shingies, so once he said that, I was like, oh, it's not serious? Can we joke about shingles then?
I think it's one where... I mean, I guess like any disease you can get, if you get it when you're older, it can be scary.
Well, like older?
Yeah.
Or like us older?
No. Like if you're an old person, you get shingles.
Oh, okay.
It's weird. The only reference point I have for shingles, and this is how much of a nerd I was growing up, was I remember when David Letterman had shingles because it was the whole thing. Because I would watch Letterman every night.
Yeah.
I was obsessed. And I liked late night in general. But I remember when he had shingles and like, yeah, he was really sick.
Was he still on camera?
I can't remember. I can't remember if he took a long break or not. I mean, it was when... I was in middle school. maybe earlier.
They go downstairs outside because I guess they're leaving for this trip
right this second.
She dropped that shingy bomb the 0 hour.
That's, oh man.
When did Lucy even help pack?
Even if I wasn't being unsigned up from something, if you tell me, hi, we're leaving to go on a trip right now, I'm so mad.
Right?
Lucy's ripping apart a microphone cover. I'm just
she's
watching
so mad
her do it.
Thinking about someone being like, Lucy Hale, we need to go on this trip to Mexico right now. Lucy was named after Lucy Hale. That's not true
That's
at
not
all.
True.
yeah, so they go downstairs outside.
Yeah, and we meet their other friends. We have
Brad.
Brad, who is the gay friend, and we know this because the first thing he says, somehow Habitat for Humanity comes up again, and he goes, oh, boys with tools, sign me up.
Yeah.
So, gay. We know he's gay.
And I think his second line
Did
is
you know
something
this
about
character's gay?
All poles, no holes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he says that.
You had me at boys with tools.
And then we meet the last dude, who is Marky Mark's boyfriend, Lucas.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the problem. Already.
There's so many people.
There are no names. Lots of characters. Mm-hmm. And Lucas and Tyson, at first, I'm like,
they look the same to me,
man.
They looked the same to me at first, too.
Okay, cool. Because so it's not just
Lucas
me and
Tyson
issues.
Are the two boyfriends, basically.
Yeah. So Tyson is Penelope's boyfriend, and Lucas is Marky's boyfriend.
Yeah. And you better memorize all these characters now, because we're about to have a few other ones just thrown in here. Just a few other bros thrown into this group.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, and by the way, the reason they like are able to convince Lucy Hale to go is because they're like, listen, when we get back, all of us are going to go.
We're all
going to
help
houses.
You build houses.
And,
yeah,
like,
fucking
be,
right.
Right, because they're like, it'd be selfish of just you to go as opposed to having all of us go.
That's more houses.
Yeah, no,
it's
that's never going to fucking happen. When?
It's never happening.
When? This is spring break. That's the only time
that's
you have
to
do it.
That's the time to do it.
You can't just take off classes for... Fuck you, Marky.
I don't know why she's friends with Marky.
Marky sucks,
Marky
dude.
Sucks
Marky
a lot.
Fucking sucks. Uh-huh. Marky's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I hate her.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah, we did get a little bit of a drop in there about, like, Lucas going to med school and, like... or Tyson, I'm sorry.
Tyson. Tyson.
Yeah, because he was like, it'll help you on your application to med school. Like, I need it. So it's like, okay, I guess he's cocky.
Yeah.
Sure. Lucas seems nice, though, but in their first scene, there's like a hand touch between him and Lucy
it's
Hale.
It's weird, and we already know that he's Marky's boyfriend.
No.
Oh, we don't?
We don't at that,
oh,
in that
God, that's
shot.
That's right, because, yeah, there's some tension between Lucas and Olivia.
And then Marky walks up and, like, makes out with him.
Yeah.
Because they're boyfriend
because they're boyfriend and girlfriend.
So it's like, there's a lot of information coming at
it's
us.
It's so much.
Yeah.
So that's why we had to stop the movie so many times.
But here's the thing, is like, so immediately, there's no subtlety to it. You're like, oh, there's like a love triangle type thing going on here. Hey, guess what? All you people who fucking shat on Unfriended, that movie did that way better and way more subtly. You don't even realize
you
it's going on
know.
Until a little bit in. This one, it's like the first shot of this guy. It's like, oh, there's going to be conflict between Lucy Hale and Marky because I guess they both like this dude.
Yeah. We love Unfriended on the Dead Meat podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dead Meat is a safe space for Unfriended fans. It's a
good
movie.
All two of us.
They drive to Mexico.
And we get the opening credits, which are just selfies and Snapchats. And
just the most generic montage of a generic vacation that I would hate every second of. Because this whole vacation is selfies and video selfies holding stuff and going, oh, wow, look. That's it. That's the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. It's so... I don't know. And then I read on the IMDb trivia that they took that footage while they were all actually on vacation together.
What?
And that, I guess they did a day trip to bond as a cast. And you could kind of tell because it does kind of seem like they don't know each other that well. Because
it does
is
feel like
weird.
It's one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird staged vacation videos.
Yeah. But I mean, aren't all photos posted on Facebook and Snapchat weird staged vacation videos?
Whoa.
Where it's like, look at my life. It's all good and nothing bad. And you should feel bad because your life's not this cool.
But if we take a picture somewhere, we actually know each other. These people just got cast in a movie and they sent them to Mexico. And that's why it feels so staged and weird.
What a great movie to get cast in.
Right? That's fun. It's not bad.
I'm sorry. We moved past this a long time ago, but she unsigned her up for Habitat for Humanity. Lucy Hale had a fucking YouTube channel devoted to her going to Habitat for Humanity.
Oh.
How bad does that look?
That's so... I didn't even think of that.
You have a YouTube channel months you're making videos about how you're going to go like build houses for poor people.
I did not even think of that.
Right?
Because that's like if you posted a video on Dead Meat saying, I'm joining the Peace Corps and I'm going to be doing all this stuff. And then on Instagram a week later, it's you doing shots of tequila with me in Mexico.
Yeah.
It would be so bad.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck Marky.
Sorry. She sucks. Yeah. I have very strong feelings about Marky.
So.
Yeah. So they go to this party that, you know, like I said earlier, they could have had some more extras to fill out this party.
Jesus.
Because if you've ever been an extra in a movie, this is what it looks like when they don't have enough extras because everyone is spaced very evenly apart. When they show the dance floor, everyone is just so. And it just. Everything is very clean.
Mm-hmm.
The floor is spotless. It is the most staged party that they paid some college kids to show up at.
Yeah.
And you've got some great awkward extras in the background because they gave some extras masks for some reason. Some of them have these kind of, they almost look like Dia de los Muertos masks.
Okay.
Yeah, like skulls.
Well, that would make sense, right? That sometimes spring break. I mean, our spring breaks were in like February,
which is weird.
But I feel like some people have around May 5th or
but
Cinco
yeah,
Mayo
you just have these extras just kind of goofing around in the background.
Yeah.
It looks like a very tame party, all things considered.
Tame for everyone except for Mark. He was fucking grinding on a dude. Like right there in front. Like it's so dumb. Even if you're Marky, who apparently just cheats
she
on her
cheats
boyfriends
on,
all the
she
time.
She cheats on Lucas nonstop.
Yeah. You wouldn't do it with him being able to just turn around and see.
Dude, not even Don Draper tries to pull that shit.
Yeah, at least Don Draper goes into the other room.
He goes into the other room to finger
Come
blast
the
a lady.
Fuck on. It's so dumb. Because like Lucy Hale's sitting there talking to Lucas like, oh, you guys are going to move in together.
And
that's like a big step.
Watching over Lucas's shoulder like... Just watching Marky cheat on
him. It's like Marky like grinds on this other dude's dick on the dance floor.
At this fucking...
Where there's at this party with no one else around to block
like
them.
This like kids bop party.
Yeah. But don't worry. At least Ronnie enters.
At least Ronnie shows up. Holy shit. Finally.
Ronnie is an American Pie character.
Yes. Absolutely.
Ronnie's
here for chicks. Ronnie's here to get laid, and he wants to see some girls making up, but not guys making up, because that's gay. And he says that, his words, not mine, bro.
Ronnie comes from the Sean William Scott School of Acting, and he is down to be a douche.
Yes.
And call Olivia O-Dog, and call himself Ron. You can't keep Ron from
Did
a party.
I'm confused because they run into him. Did he just go to Mexico
by himself? Yes. Apparently he went there by himself.
Or was he?
You can't listen, hon. You can't keep Ron from a party.
That's right.
All right.
Actual quote.
That party's going on and he is physically unable to stop himself from heading to that
party. His nose itched and he just followed the feeling and ended up in Mexico.
Yeah. By himself. With these people he goes to school with. What a sad fucking life. Can you imagine that drive down there? If you're Ronnie, driving down. I'm assuming that they're supposed to live in San Diego.
I mean, I just imagine him, if you know, the scene where we see all the other characters driving to Mexico, if you just pan down a little bit, I think Ronnie's just holding on to the bottom of their car.
Oh, he's sideshow bobbing it? But what a sad drive for him to go down there. Just like,
it's kind of far. It's far, even if you're in San Diego.
Yeah, I'm
LA.
Assuming it's San Diego because they're right there on the border. They keep going to TJ back and forth. So, it's like a 2-hour drive.
Yeah.
Like for LA, it'd be like a 4 or 5 hour drive. Yeah. And obviously, it's filmed in LA. We're spotting stuff all the time. But I'm just assuming that whatever. It doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't matter. Because then we meet a dude who looks like a combination of Daniel Radcliffe and Robert Pattinson.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a kid, it's this dude.
Yeah, it's sexy.
It's
Daniel
actually
Radcliffe.
Very uncanny. So at the end of the night, he says, you know.
Like, yeah, because the rest of the friends walk up and he's like, hey, I'll show you something cool.
Yeah, like, we still want to party. Let's go. I'll show you something cool.
Now, listen. You're a group. of American college students.
Like cute American college kids.
And you go down to Mexico, and a stranger at like 2 a.m. tells you, come with me. I got a cool place to go. Don't do that.
That's how you get trafficked.
Yes, that is trafficking.
That is how you end up in human slavery, human trafficking. 100%.
You are getting ransomed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do...
Is this all a metaphor for trafficking? No, it's not. It's not. It's not a metaphor for anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of... we both at this point thought it reminded us of It Follows. Because it's the same
thing. Which is a metaphor.
Which is.
Because It Follows is a good movie.
It Follows is a very good movie, but it's the same kind of character almost, because this guy, it takes them to, you know, in It Follows, he takes the main character to a parking garage, I think. And in this, he's taking them to this abandoned church. It's an old mission, like Spanish style mission. So they all get there and this place is trashed on the inside. It's pretty nasty. It just looks, it looks very decrepit. So they all sit down and they're all just kind of hanging out. And then guy at bar who we learn his name is Carter.
Yeah.
Carter says, do you guys want to play Truth or Dare?
Yeah.
And everyone agrees to pretty quickly.
There's a little bit of pushback, but no. Oh, no. I wrote down the line because it's amazing.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you want to play Truth or Dare? And everyone but Lucy Hale is like, no, dude, that's dumb.
Yeah.
We want to go. And then Carter sells it as like, but it's a great way to get your friends to do stuff they don't want to do. Which, like, one,
okay, Carter,
that's a shitty way to think about friendship.
Like we're leaving now. It's weird to say.
But no, that sells it to Tyson, whose line is, that actually does sound kind of interesting.
That's right.
That's his line. Cut to them playing the game. That, like, this is a first draft script if I've ever seen it.
Yes.
It's just like, oh, we need them. That actually does sound kind of
interesting. Okay, we need them agreeing to play here. Okay, cool. Let's keep going.
I feel so bad for the actors because, like, how can you get into...
That's the thing is any criticism of this that involves the actors, I think... You know, I don't know if any of it is their fault.
Yeah.
Because they do what they can.
Because, like, when you're playing a character, you have to, like, believe in the internal logic of what you're saying.
Yeah.
How can anyone buy into, yeah, my human character with a brain would be convinced by that argument and want to play this fucking game in this abandoned mission?
Yeah. So, they start playing Truth or Dare. And the very first question, I think...
Brad does it.
Brad. I keep wanting to call him
cool,
Brian.
Man.
Brad is cool. Brad asks Olivia, truth or dare? And she picks truth. And he asks her, if aliens were to come to Earth and they give you the option of they kill all of us in here, so you and all of your friends, but you save the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's it.
Or the whole world is saved and you get to live, but all of Mexico is destroyed.
Like,
right? Isn't that
it's,
it? Yeah, they kill the
There's no need to bring in the world, I guess, because it's either everyone in the room dies.
Yeah.
And that's it. Or... Everyone in the room lives and all of Mexico.
I guess I wanted the stakes to be bigger.
Everyone in the room lives.
Yeah, or you live, but we kill everyone in Mexico.
Yeah, which is a lot of people.
That's a lot.
It's a great question.
And Olivia is so good. She's such a good character. She just wants to build houses.
Yeah.
For the poor. And she says, no, I will sacrifice myself and my friends to save Mexico.
Yeah.
Clap.
And it's
everyone
like...
No, they don't stand up. And clap.
No, they're actually pissed about it.
They are. They think that's a dumb answer.
But here's like, okay, I get what you want this character to be.
Also, everyone's mad at Brad for that question. That's a great
that's
truth
a great
question.
Fucking question.
That's a difficult.
So first, props to Brad.
Yeah.
Second, yeah, it, she just like, she has this line, it's like, it's the right answer. And it's like, yeah, it is. I agree, but you could... phrase it a little better. I mean, I guess they're in college, and when you're in college, you have like a black and white kind of view sometimes of like, well, that's the right answer. But it's just this character just seems so simple to me. It's like, yes, we know Lucy Hale's a good person. You could shade it in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I guess they need it stark here
to contrast with the ending.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So put a pin in this.
Yeah.
Right here, my notes just say Ron sucks.
Oh, and yeah,
and also, I dare you to kill Ron. I don't think anyone actually dares someone to do that. I just have that in my notes.
Yeah, I think that was your
I think that was
fantasy.
Me talking to the TV.
There's a... No, at this point I wrote down, who is Tyson and Penelope? Because they still aren't characters.
Yeah, Ron is more of a character than
for
they
sure.
are.
For sure, I know Ron.
Yeah.
I get Ron. But Penelope and Tyson, all I've seen is like them tongue-fucking each other on the dance floor.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden in this scene, Tyson springs to life as a major D-bag and is like, something, I forget how it's phrased, but he says, yo, Marky, are you aware that Lucy Hale loves your boyfriend?
Question.
Yes.
This is important. Is this before or after Man-Ass? Because there's Man-Ass in this movie.
It's got to be after because you get the levity first. So, yeah, you get Lucas Man-Ass.
Yeah, we see Man-Ass.
And
this is
streaks.
When we get really weird music. This is when I thought this was stock music.
Okay, who's ready?
Oh, also, we should mention, we were watching the unrated version.
That's right.
Which I think is a full minute longer. So, that's a lot.
We should have said that up front because I totally forgot.
That's okay. We haven't gotten it to anything that's like
different.
I don't think
except
so.
Except for the Man-Ass. I think that's what we're reminded.
Maybe Man-Ass. Later, we get like a sex scene that seemed a bit too racy for PG-13. And the deaths were
pretty gruesome. Pretty There's no good. Way they looked like that in
a PG-13 release. No way. Mm-hmm. So, if you're going to watch this movie, watch the unrated version because. While I was watching, I was like, at least the deaths are pretty, like, they made me cringe in like a ooh, that's mm-hmm. gotta hurt way,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Which was good. I love seeing that.
Yeah. So, Lucas, what is he, or Tyson?
Yeah. Tyson, he just brings it up that, like, oh, Lucy Hale loves her boyfriend, Marky. And I'm like, who the fuck are you, Tyson?
Yeah, why are you starting shit?
Yeah, I don't know you.
Yeah.
Also, during Brad's turn to ask Lucy Hale, he asks Lucy Hale truth or dare. She says dare to, like, try to, you know, play against type, I guess. And then fucking Ron steals. Oh, no, it's Penelope who says dare. And then Ron steals Brad's thing and is like,
I dare you to make out with Olivia. And she goes, okay.
And she does it.
It wasn't your turn.
It wasn't his turn. Yeah. It was Brad's turn. We could have gotten another great Brad question.
Ron's just mad because he got dared to give
one of them
Lucas a
lap. I think
dance,
Lucas a lap.
Or no,
dance.
Tyson. Shit. Guys, they look the same. And I feel bad because Lucas, I believe, and this is another thing where we're old and people will yell at us.
Oh,
I
God.
Think he is the titular Teen Wolf in the Teen Wolf series.
Oh. Which also included the chick from Unfriended.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also, Lucas is going to be in the upcoming season of Scream.
Oh, the reboot Scream?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not the same. Carter says...
Truth, I think.
I think, yeah. It's he explains that he tricked
because it was like, what are your intentions with Lucy Hale?
That's right.
And
he said,
like,
yeah.
Well, it's to fuck you all over. Bye.
Yeah, he says, okay.
I'm okay with strangers dying if it means I get to live.
Yes. So he basically tells them, he set them all up. He purposely picked Olivia because she seemed too good and too nice,
mm-hmm.
that she'd be easy to trick. So, yep. Bye. And then he,
just follow the rules. Bye. He runs off. Lucy Hale chases after him, gets a little bit more information. Then she comes back and there's a jump scare with the faces.
That's right. All of her friends have the Snapchat filter.
And
faces.
It got me. It got
it did.
Us.
It made me jump. There's a few jumps in this that got me.
Yeah. And so this was a good scare. But then it's like, scare. Oh, that's what they look like.
Yeah. We should cut away maybe.
Yeah. Maybe cut away a little faster or just do a better effect.
Or, yeah.
It's
or
so bad.
Faces that aren't CG.
They're so bad.
Yeah.
I'm so upset. I just turned the page on my notes, and it was the first time I turned the page. I'm going to have to do that two more times.
Oh, my God.
This movie is also an hour 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why.
It doesn't need to be.
Why is there those extra 10 minutes?
Yeah. So, yeah, decent jump scare, and then she's freaking out, and then I think she looks again, and all of her friends are just sitting normal like they were. And so they're like, what's wrong?
And that was their spring break.
Okay, bye, Mexico. They go back home.
Yep. So now they're back in school. We get that. There's like a scene with Lucy Hale and Brad
where this is when he gives the exposition. And apparently has a girlfriend in Canada, a fake girlfriend in Canada, which is
Kimberly.
Fun.
Kimberly. I don't know why I remembered her name, but Canadian Kimberly.
But like, it's so weird because like, he's talking about, oh, what I could have done differently in my life. And she's like, yeah, but then you never would have met me. And I never had a sense of these two having an actual friendship. Yeah, it's like, what is your relationship?
I wish we did, though, because I liked their scene together. I thought they had a good
because
friendship
because they're both
chemistry.
Good actors.
Yeah,
and they were able
fair.
To actually do something with this garbage material.
Yeah, this is also another scene, I think, where there's weird stock music. But it's not, because there was a composer. I don't know. I think maybe that was
It never sounded like stock music to me. It sounded like someone composing for the wrong movie.
Sure.
Or like for a TV show, like you said.
It did. There's a few hits in this movie where it'll cut from one scene to another and there's an accent. Where,
yeah, like
in a show.
Ding, like with a guitar.
Cut to exterior of someone's house. It's very, very, very weird. So yeah, at this part where we do cut back to their college house after this little like riff, we see Lucy, Hale, Olivia walk home, and we see her give some money to a homeless man because she's so good.
She's so good.
She's so
she's
good.
She's such a good person.
She's so good. So she walks inside. Mm-hmm. We just had to have that little shot of her.
Oh, is this the one we learn about Marky's dad?
Yes.
Who killed himself?
Yes. So. And- this really dark C plot.
Yeah, I don't know. This is where they could have cut out the 10 minutes. I guess it comes into play later, but maybe find a different way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was a lot.
She, because she's watching a video of her dad on her phone.
Yeah, Marky took it.
Marky is, yes. And it's like, oh, her dad is dead. And she's like mouthing the words along with the video.
Yeah,
so
we know she's
watched
this video. Because it's her dad at a grill making like hot dogs.
Seems like a charming guy, to be honest.
So after she goes home and we learn the stuff about Marky's dad, Olivia heads to the library.
I guess to meet up with Marky, maybe? Whatever.
Research purposes. Yeah. I don't really know. She walks in and everyone in the library, all of a sudden, they turn around and they all have that Snapchat face.
And they surround her and she screams, "Find truth." And they all say together something like,
"Something, something,
best
Marky.
Friend, Marky."
And then she yells,
"Marky's constantly cheating on Lucas."
And then we realize she screamed that into this very quiet library.
Yeah, where everyone is still sitting there.
Yes.
And also Marky and Lucas.
Marky and Lucas
there.
Are sitting there. So everyone turns around and it's really awkward. Now we join Ronnie at
Ron.
Bar at it's got a pool table and.
And he is just harassing this woman.
Dude, in my notes I have Ronnie should maybe be in prison.
No, look, just one game. Like, I just want to show you my pool cue.
Okay.
And by pool cue, I mean penis.
By the pool cue, I mean my dick.
I'll show you my dick. Let me show you my dick.
Let me show you my
sir,
dick.
You need to leave.
It's like, all right, Lucy K, get out of here.
I'm calling the police.
Yeah, Ronnie's in trouble in the post Me Too world.
Yes, he absolutely is. Ronnie is many women's hashtag Me Too.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
But at least this chick gets some revenge because she spooky faces it up.
She turns into the Snapchat face.
And turns to him and is like, truth or dare. And of course,
Ronnie picks dare.
And
yeah.
She's like, get on that pool table and show me your dick.
Show everyone your dick.
And he's like, okay, awesome. And he gets up on to do
it. To be fair, he plays it well.
He does. But it's so weird because the Snapchat face let's just say, go ahead and spoil, if you're listening this deep, it's a demon.
Yes.
It's a demon. But it's like when he agrees to do it, the girl with the Snapchat face looks really disappointed, like she didn't get him. So was that the demon being like, I'm going to fuck you up and dare you to show your dick.
And then you won't do it and then I get to kill you?
Yeah. And then Ron's like, no problem.
I'll show everyone my
dick.
Yeah.
And then the demon
problem.
Is like, fuck.
I don't want to see your dick. Damn it.
Yeah.
Why did I know?
The look of disappointment on this Snapchat face girl is so weird.
God.
Of like, but he's going to.
Even the demon has the the Ronnie type logic where he's like, no, I don't want to see dudes. I want to see chicks, man. I want to see a dude's dick. Why'd I say that?
Yeah. Well, he gets up and he's ready to do it. And then he gets heckled. of people saying it's small.
Yeah, and then his face turns into the spooky face.
When you decide not to do it. So, okay, so Carter had mentioned, make sure you...
Oh, someone put the rules, the specific truth or dare rules on IMDb on the trivia.
Oh, great.
I'll pull that up because you that reminded me.
Well, I think I can recite them just by memory, but go ahead and bring them up. I'll vamp with this because Carter says the rules. You always have to pick truth or dare. You always have to do what it says. If you don't do the dare or if you don't tell the truth, you will die.
You die.
There's also a rule that will get introduced in a minute that we find out that's like kind of a little twist, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you have to do the dare. If you don't, you die. So when Ronnie decides not to do the dare, that's when he gets Snapchat faced.
Right.
Which is so dumb that it's the same fucking face on the people who are telling the truth or dare and then also on the people who are getting possessed by... It's just... They couldn't afford another effect.
I don't know. It's a lot.
Oh, man.
It's a lot. So what happens is he turns into the creepy face and he tries falling off. He kind of like just stiffens up and it starts wobbling over the edge of the table. And it looks like he's going to fall and just impale himself on a pool stick. People catch him.
Yeah.
And they turn him around and he just kind of lumbers over to the other edge of the pool table and he slips on a pool ball and he falls and he basically just gets bent in half.
Dude,
between
his neck.
It's nasty.
It's
he's
so it,
between
gross.
A pool table and I don't know the counter or another table.
Another table.
So
he,
his
think.
Neck just basically
his neck just
snaps.
Cracks. It's a nasty
it's
crack.
And
it's real.
It is. Yeah.
It's real.
I'm so curious what was different in the theatrical because we tried finding. I don't know. I just assume in our time of the internet, someone wrote that article.
Yeah.
Like, here's the differences between.
There's a site that does it, a really good site that I use all the time. It's like movie-censor.com or something like that. And I checked it, and all they had was like the news release that there would be an uncensored version. I get this just came out on Blu-ray. Like, this just came in the mail a week or two ago.
Yeah, we
so
didn't just get this.
I guess they take their time on that site. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It's a nasty fucking neck break, dude.
Yeah, so, and people are filming it because everyone's filming at first because they think this dude's going to whip
his
dick out.
They want to see his dick, dude.
And so then we cut to all of his friends, quote-unquote friends, hanging mm-hmm. out. So it's Olivia and Murky
and
Tyson company.
And
blah, blah.
The whole funky bunch is there.
And all their phones start going off, and they all get this video of him dying.
Of him fucking
and
dying.
And Tyson.
Yeah.
The first person to say anything after they watched this snuff film of their friend says,
"Bad break.
What the fuck, Tyson? Our friend just died."
Yeah, bad break. It's a pool joke. Fuck
Tyson.
You. Fuck this script.
He's Patrick Bateman, and we'll get more into why he's Patrick Bateman later. But
it's so fucking stupid.
He's just so.
No like, one would say that.
No one
that.
Would say that.
No one would
and
watch
to be
a
fair,
video.
Everyone's like, what the fuck, dude? But still, they're not sad.
No.
And even if you hate Ronnie, which we all do,
well, everyone
we all
hates
hate
Ronnie.
Ronnie.
Fuck Ronnie.
You're still, you know, you just watch someone die.
Who, like, you knew
who
really
you knew
well.
In person.
I can name lots of people who I know well. Who annoy the shit out of me and who I wouldn't hang out with by choice, where if I saw a video of them dying,
yeah.
I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Not making puns.
Oh. Write your people like people, please. Please write your people like people.
Or if you're not, keep that tone the whole time.
Yeah. But just write your people like people. There's no script where someone says that line where I'm like, that fits in with the tone of this movie.
Right. So this is when Olivia finally feels, okay, I'm not totally crazy.
I keep seeing truth or dare.
I keep
they made
truth
me
or
do
dare.
This thing.
Ronnie didn't do his dare, so he's dead. And she's going all Alex Jones on
yeah.
Friends and is yelling about this truth or dare conspiracy.
Yeah.
And
no one believes
no
her.
No one believes her.
Lucas leaves and he sees graffiti on an overpass saying like truth or dare and then he like and then it gets cut
and
into
then
his arm.
His arm starts
I
burning.
Guess. And so that makes him believe it and he calls Olivia and he's like, I believe you and she's like, well what did it say? And he just says and it's so weird, he says it in third person. He's like,
I've had feelings for Olivia since we met. Sometimes I wonder what it'd be like to be with her instead of Marky.
But he's talking to her.
He's talking to her on the phone.
Yeah. Cause that was his
That was, I guess that was
because it came up on the graffiti
and it was like, how do you
feel about...
How do you really feel about Olivia or something?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She looks at the picture of them that they took, like the group selfie.
It's a Final Destination kind of setup.
Definitely.
Where they realize,
so we got It Follows. We got Final Destination going on.
They look at the order they would have played the game in the circle they were sitting in. They realize that
so it's Marky's turn next. They're all waiting for her to come home, and she walks, and she's like, was this an intervention? I thought day drinking Penelope would be first up. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, so that's Penelope. She fucks and she drinks?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Poor Penelope.
I know.
She gets she gets the best sequence, I think, in this movie later. But so it's Marky's turn, I guess.
Yeah. Right around this point, I just have a note that says, I'm glad everyone got paid to make this and had a job for a few months.
Yep.
That's how I felt watching this.
Yeah.
Like,
nice.
You know what? People were employed on this for a little bit.
Yeah.
And when you work in the industry, yeah, that's a job.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter if what you're working on is shitty, if you're getting paid those union rates.
This contributed to the economy.
Yep.
Good. So she gets a truth or dare. I forget how. Oh, I think she sees her friends do it.
Well, yeah.
She
gets a text that says,
that's right.
I dare you to break Olivia's hand.
Yeah, because she said dare.
Yeah, so she's like, okay, guys, like one of you could have just sent this to me. And Olivia says, you know, why the fuck would I dare you to break my hand?
And then she like makes her do it.
She
pulls
makes
out
her
a hammer.
Do it.
And this is our Patrick Bateman line, because everyone's like, because Lucy Hale's like, you have to break my hand with this hammer. And everyone's like, what the fuck is going on?
That's messed up. And then Tyson goes.
Yeah, someone says, that's so messed up. And he says.
Even by my standards.
What the fuck?
What are your standards?
Tyson, what are you up to?
Yeah.
What are your freaky ass standards?
Yeah. Like, maybe if there had been a couple of scenes prior to this where they came home and he was like dissecting a fucking like cat.
Yeah.
And making jokes about
if
it.
If he's like a, Johnny Knoxville type person.
I guess we were just complaining about him making that joke about the bad break thing. But again, all of Tyson's shit comes so suddenly.
Yeah.
Because like in the first 10 minutes or whatever this movie, he's a nothing character who just like fucks. And then all of a sudden during the Truth or Dare game, he like breaks out that like, are you aware that you're... And then in this scene, it's like, bad break. Yeah, that's messed up even by my standards. What is this character
is he up to?
This character sucks.
Yeah.
Oh.
So much
of this podcast is just punctuated by me being like,
God damn.
Yeah. Hey, that was a good me. Good work.
So yeah, Marky smashes the shit out of Olivia's hand.
It was pretty dope.
And Olivia goes to the hospital to get her hand fixed.
Also, isn't someone at the hospital going to be like, hey, who smashed your hand with a hammer? Because that's very clearly what happened.
That's a thing where they would take her aside because she came with Lucas.
Yeah,
and they
she
would
came
be
with
like,
Lucas
hi,
and Brad.
Is your boyfriend hurting you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucas is not getting out of that hospital without some questioning.
So we see a very weird corpse at this hospital. Like, can we kind of pan by a room and we see a old man corpse with his eyes and mouth wide open getting a sheet pulled over him? And I think Brad goes off to the vending machine to get some chips or...
Yeah, but he doesn't get the potato skins that are in there.
The little shoestring tater chips?
No, I'm talking about the potato skins. The TGI Friday... potato skins, although I think the ones in there were like regular flavored. You gotta get that bacon cheddar flavor, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, my school had those. I got those every day because when you're young and in high school, you can eat whatever
you want.
At least if you
enjoy
have my metabolism. But I haven't seen those in forever. Maybe I'll order some online.
Oh no,
they're probably so
you're gonna have
salty.
To order them in bulk. There's no way you can just buy a couple
bags
of those. The only people who order them are people who own vending machines. You're going to have to buy 1,000
I'm going to have to call them up and disguise my voice. I'm like, yes, I own Vending Co.
I own many vending machines.
And I need bags of
these.
1 million
bags.
He's getting
that
his
could be your giveaway for the channel.
Yeah,
the
anyone want potato skins?
You got to buy them in bulk, so keep a few.
Go name the 150 movie references I've made in the kill counts, and if you do it all accurately, you'll get a bag of chips.
Yeah. Yep.
So
Brad, the corpse.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good scare too, I thought.
The corpse
sits up. We see it in the background moving around, and then Brad turns around. The corpse is right there, and it's got the face, of course.
Truth or dares him.
and he says truth.
Mm-hmm.
And his truth is obviously to come out to his dad.
Come out to his dad.
Mentioned this earlier.
His dad is at the hospital. I don't really remember why, but
doing
he
his
is.
Job. Just... That's, it's like, why are you here, Dad? I'm doing my job.
Great.
Your
sure.
job is to police a hospital.
I mean, I guess cops show up at the hospital.
I don't know. I guess whatever. That's nitpicky. I don't want to.
Yeah, it's yeah.
I don't
yeah.
want to be like that.
Yeah.
There's plenty else to comment
yes,
about.
Yes, there is.
Like this. Here's where Brad gets done dirty. It's
yeah.
He starts this conversation with his dad, and then it cuts to Lucy Hale, and he walks up to her and was like, "I just had my turn. I had to come out to my dad." Why is that off screen? Why
yeah.
is that moment off screen? Because they couldn't figure out how to write a realistic reaction to it from the dad.
I don't know, that whole
it's very bad, and it's so bad. That for a second I was like, is he lying? Did he not actually do it? And is he going to die right
That's
now?
What
it's like,
I thought
scare
too.
Us. But no, this movie just, I think, couldn't figure out how to write a real human interaction with that much emotional weight to it. So they just
yeah.
have that conversation begin and cut away and have him walk up
yeah.
and be like, I just did this huge moment in my life.
I bet it was an issue where if you start that conversation on screen, you kind of have to finish it because that's such a big conversation.
That's such a big
yeah.
moment in this character's yeah. life, and it happens off screen, and then he just walks up to Lucy
and
I
then
was
it's
like,
not
I just...
really a thing the rest of the movie.
It's a little bit
because
the dad later is like, you're still my son.
Yeah,
but
it's very weird.
This might have pissed me off more than anything else in this movie. It's just like, you have this character, you're gonna use his sexuality as like a plot point.
Yeah,
that's fine, I guess, if you're gonna do it right, but no, you have him coming out, which is like a big thing off screen, just as like a fucking
it's just
fuck
a
you.
Way to have a truth or dare for that character that has some weight when he gets asked truth or dare and when he has to do the thing. I
yeah.
think they maybe just gave him that backstory just so that you had some emotional reaction when he has to do that. But
yeah.
then we don't see him do it.
Because if not, like, what's a scary truth for him to do? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if he's a closeted gay guy, then it's like, oh, like, that's a big fucking moment, man.
Right.
You know?
And then we cut to Tyson looking like he's at Dorsia for lunch. He's in his Patrick Bateman suit. Because he has a med school interview. I thought
oh,
he was at a restaurant at first. Yeah.
Is this intercut with them Googling and searching like truth or dare
yes,
and shit?
Yes,
okay.
yes, yes. Because
that's what
near
I
the end of
notes.
This scene, they're running to get to his,
yeah.
his interview.
I do like here where they're Googling truth or dare and they find the security cam from the Mexico thing from the beginning. And I like this because it shows us
what everyone else sees.
What everyone yeah. else sees. Because you see the security cam footage of the chick from the beginning being like, dare, and the gas station attendant is like, I said cash or credit. So that's fun to see because you're wondering the whole time like what's going on, and I guess that everyone else who gets the Snapchat face, they're just standing there
yeah
most of the time.
Yep. So by the way, oh, so some important, this is a important Tyson backstory for this scene. Earlier in the movie,
important Tyson backstory.
It is. Earlier in the movie, I think we see him do this a few times. He forges scripts for people.
Because when, after the Mexico trip, he was like, hey, Lucy Hale, sorry, I was a dick in Mexico.
I owe you one. And he gives her a prescription for Adderall.
Yeah, they're like 20 megs, too.
So
they're
much.
Like, yeah, dude, that
that's
guy is probably making
Adderall.
Bank in
yeah.
college.
So that's his thing. And we learn that he specifically is selling them to underclassmen, like freshmen and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's going on. So keep that in mind for his med school interview.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And here's like more dialogue of like, how do youth people talk? Because they're looking for this chick who was on the security cam, and they're like, find her Facebook, look on her wall, see if she posted, DM her. And then they make a fake Facebook account and DM her, and fucking Marky goes all crazy Goodfellas.
Yeah,
because
at first they use the strategy of, okay, let's just be honest. Let's tell Giselle, girl from the beginning of the movie, that we're also playing truth or dare. We need her help. We need to meet up with her. And then Marky says, no, she's on the run and she's wanted for murder. She's never going to respond to that. She'll respond to this and grabs the laptop and says, we will kill your whole family, pretty much.
Yeah, I think it's like, we're also playing truth or dare. We'll stand outside your house until it dares us to kill them all.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, because this is the whole through line of this movie is Lucy Hale's too nice.
Yeah, and Marky sucks.
And Marky sucks. That's definitely a through line.
So we're wrapping up Tyson's med school interview, and the woman interviewing him says in a creepy voice,
you know, I just have one final question.
And her face starts to look weird. But then we realize, because we cut back to Olivia and all them, they're running because they realize that it's Tyson's turn. And
yeah.
So they're running and they're trying to get him. But we cut back and we realize that the lady wasn't asking truth or dare. She was just asking a final follow-up question.
Yeah, so what? It was supposed to be like a fake-out scare, but yeah, it's so dumb because...
Why did she turn all weird all of a sudden just to ask, like...
Because the movie wanted us to think... for a minute that she was going to ask truth or dare, even though it doesn't fucking matter because she does in the next minute.
What would you say is your biggest weakness?
I guess my biggest weakness is that...
I'm such a perfectionist.
Yeah, I just care too much.
I care too much.
So they run and they see him and they're like, oh good, he's not dead.
You're good.
And then he's like,
fine.
Oh, forgot my lucky pen. Because he has this lucky pen. This is Dr. Shithead. And so he goes back into the thing to get it. And then the lady interviewing him like locks the door, which is breaking all kinds of rules. And then gets all spooky face and truth or dare. He says, he's like, well, I can't believe my friends put you up to this. Truth, I guess. And she's like, something about the scripts that he's writing.
That's right. Yeah. And he has to tell the truth about forging scripts.
And he denies it up and down.
Yep.
He says,
nope, I do not do that.
Great psychopath right there.
Yeah.
Good. Just completely denied
he,
and lie.
And then he stabs himself in the eye with his pen.
And then rams his face against the wall.
Oh, this is so gross.
It's great. I really want to know what's in the PG-13 version
because
it can't be this.
It can't be
it
that.
It cannot be these kills.
I can see maybe the original kind of stab. Because I think, if I remember correctly, it was...
like the angle is maybe behind it or whatever.
But then he's got this pen in his eye. He turns around and starts hitting his head against the door.
Fucking brutal, dude.
And his friends can see him because there's glass on either side of the door, I think. Like they can see it happening.
That woman is seeing it. That poor woman is fucked for life.
Yeah.
She's going to have nightmares of that for the rest of her life. I think that I got a little bit out of order here because I think after this is when they Google the truth or dare and they like see the video, cash her credit, and the DM her and all that shit. So that happened after the
there's
interview.
A lot of stuff going on all at the same time in this movie. It's fine. It's really fine.
So then it's Penelope's turn.
Yeah,
and
Penelope
she just starts drinking.
Is throwing back Popov. Like
Popov.
It's I don't think it was actually Popov. It was kind of a generic fog, but it looked like Popov. It made my stomach lurch.
But you know what? College.
College.
Fuck yeah, dude. That checks out.
Oh,
although,
girl.
You know what? Although they're seniors, I feel like
you can
by
do
senior
better.
Year, you're not drinking
by
pop
senior
off.
Year, no, you can get something a little better
that's
than Popov.
Yeah.
Popov is rubbing alcohol. It's
that's
disgusting.
A underclassman
God.
Drink of the, choice
if
right
I remember,
there.
The bottle's not even glass. It's a
no,
plastic.
No, it's the plastic handle.
Oh, it's just
that's Popov, dude.
Disgusting.
For sure. Popov is rubbing alcohol.
I'm sorry. I just think about it and it makes me want to die.
So she is knocking that shit back and it's her turn. And oh yeah, she gets dared by herself in the mirror.
Yes. And this is when everyone's downstairs Googling stuff.
Yes.
It's fine. The timeline's
whatever.
Fine.
She's upstairs. She looks in the mirror. Her own mirror reflection gets Snapchatted. And then she's like, she gets truth or dared. I guess she does. Oh, she tries to say truth.
That's
because
right.
Because earlier they did have, and I wrote down, thank you for being smart. I think Lucas is like, just always say truth.
Always say
that's what
truth.
I said.
That's, yeah,
makes
that's
sense.
The easiest way to just ride this thing out. You'll ruin all of your relationships,
but you won't kill anyone.
Yes, exactly.
You won't be forced to murder.
Exactly.
So just say truth. Yeah. But when Penelope says truth into the mirror,
her
the mirror is like.
Her reflection says, that's not how this works.
Which we're like, what the
fuck? What
the
fuck?
Yeah, but later we learn that you can't do.
Yes, that's in the official rules.
And I've heard this before.
Two truths and a dare.
Yes.
Yeah, I've played this before. I've heard those rules before.
That if the two previous people before you said truth, you were not allowed to pick it. You have to do a dare.
Yes.
So her dare is to walk along the edge of the roof until she finishes that handle of rubbing alcohol.
It's so much vodka.
It's a lot of vodka. She's not even halfway done with that when she starts.
Meanwhile, all of her friends, they realize that Carter, because when they're looking up the girl from the security cam video from the beginning of the movie on Facebook, they see Carter in her pictures.
Mm-hmm. He's not tagged or anything.
No. So they.
But they're like, oh, they know each other.
They know each other. Cool. So, okay, they see that this girl went to USC, and so they look up Carters at USC on Facebook, and they say there's five. There's way more than five Carters at USC. Come on.
Yeah.
There's so many.
But they go, they see Penelope out on the roof, and this is the best sequence of the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, I liked this.
It's suspenseful. It's shot well. There's a lot of, like, big crane shots of, like, the whole, like, from the sky, her walking around this roof. I don't know how they did that, but that's great.
And I liked how it all wrapped up.
Yeah, and the characters, like, they work together. They're smart. They get a mattress.
Yeah,
and they're
this
like,
is a moment where I believe them all being friends.
Yeah, because they're like firefighting it, like carrying a mattress around along the edges and like encouraging her. And Lucas is up on the roof trying to help her.
Yeah,
and then you see like this wrought iron fence with like spear tips.
Yeah, she rounds the corner of the roof and starts kind of coming up on the side that goes alongside the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a gate across the driveway that has all these spikes on top.
And it's like, okay, that's how she's going out.
Yeah, so we're thinking, all right, she's just going to fall into this fence, and that's how the sequence ends. So you're waiting the whole time for that to happen.
But she doesn't. She finishes it, and she falls, and there's some stuff with a car ramming it. It's a good sequence.
Yeah.
And she finishes the pop-off, and she falls onto the mattress, which is on the car.
Yeah. Because they used the car to basically just barrel the gate open because it was locked.
Yeah.
So that the car is now where the gate was. She falls down to the car, but they put the mattress on top of the car and they save their friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I could see if you're looking for a kill there. You're disappointed she doesn't fall into that fence, but I liked it for, like, character stuff.
Yeah, and for being unexpected.
Yeah.
You see that wrought iron fence, you're like, oh, this is
That's
how she dies.
Happen.
They fucking fool you. Best sequence of the movie right here.
To be fair, though, the way that she does ultimately die, pretty lame.
Oh, yeah. She dies in the next scene.
Compared to how she could have gone
out
on this
fence.
For sure.
It sucks that, like,
I see both sides of it.
Yeah. It sucks that, like, they saved her and then she dies.
Yeah.
In a very lame way. They go to meet Giselle.
Yes.
Giselle reaches out to them, is like, okay, you can meet me here. They go there and
they meet her in a creepy alley.
And Giselle immediately asks, which one of you is Olivia? They don't answer. They try to get answers from Giselle, and she mentions her friend Sam, who like trashed the place, and her reaction to Carter when they're like, we're looking for Carter, and she's like, who? Carter. Oh yeah, I haven't seen him. I'm like, oh, Carter or Sam? Immediately in this scene I'm like, okay,
what? Because she says her friend Sam,
because she says her friend Sam, and she doesn't recognize Carter.
Yeah,
okay, that dude is Sam.
Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah.
But she explains the whole two truths and a dare thing.
Yes.
And then when they're trying to leave, Marky very unwisely says Olivia's name, mm-hmm. which it, like, you know, spells out who that is for her. And she's like, I'm sorry, Olivia. My dare was to kill you. And she tries to shoot Olivia, but Penelope jumps in front of the bullet
mm-hmm.
and gets shot and dies.
Yep.
And then, so then, having failed the dare, this is me getting very pedantic, I guess,
yes.
and nitpicky. But it's still...
Yeah.
So she kills Penelope, right?
Mm-hmm.
She then, because she didn't do that dare, she turns the gun on herself and shoots herself. But she could have still killed Olivia. What was the dare? Kill no one but Olivia? All the dare said was kill Olivia.
Like, yeah.
You know? She still could.
Unless she just had one bullet in the gun.
She still could have, like, gotten up and strangled her. What's the time limit on these dares, demon?
Yeah.
Kalex, is that his name?
Yeah, Kalex.
Yeah, what's the time limit?
Kalex.
What's the time frame you got to do these dares in? Because she could have fucking gotten up and killed it, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
She shoots herself in the head.
Shoots herself.
And you see it? I don't think that was in the PG-13.
Oh, no? It was pretty graphic.
Yeah, I don't think you can just have someone shooting themselves in the head in a PG-13.
Okay.
If I had to guess.
So they go to the cops and just tell the truth that, or at least, you know, as much of the truth that makes sense, that she was going to shoot Olivia, Penelope got in the way, and then she killed herself. And the cops are like, they're like, did you know she was wanted for murder? Yeah, we went to find her because we were looking for this dude. Okay. Like, they're not like, why were you looking for this dude? And yeah. I guess it's because the cop is suspecting something's going on. I don't think this cop subplot's important. I think we can brush past this. Right.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it's fine.
He's like, five of her friends died, three of your friends died. It doesn't matter. Fuck
this.
There's
something going on.
Yeah, cool. Good job, cop.
Good police work.
They look up the church that they went to, the mission, and they find that there was like a slaughter there with one survivor.
Yes, there was a massacre at the church. One survivor, a 19-year-old woman who is a nun at the church.
Yeah.
The only person to live at the mission that they
were. So we're just gathering facts here.
And I thought for a second that so they're looking at an old newspaper article and there's a picture of the nun. And I thought that she looked exactly like the woman who is in the teasers and all the posters for the Nun movie that's coming out. And I thought, oh my God, is this a crossover? It's not. But
would have been fun. Blumhouse.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought maybe it's not.
So then the homeless guy who Olivia had given money to is in her house.
Yeah.
Because it's her turn again.
Yep.
And he says truth or dare. And she says dare. And her dare. Oh, yeah. They chase the homeless guy out. Because when she says dare.
Yeah, he like comes to.
Yeah. He's
and
looks
then goes,
so scared.
Where am I? And then like, runs out of the house.
This poor guy has probably got issues to begin with, as most homeless do, unfortunately. And this guy just comes out of a fugue state in a stranger's house.
Yeah.
And runs away.
He's really scared.
For whatever reason, Lucas chases him down the block. They just needed to get Lucas out of this scene, which is real fucking dumb because, I can see chasing him out of the house, but then he literally runs down the block chasing after this homeless guy like, wait, hold up. Why, Lucas?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why do you need to talk to this vagrant? But that allows the girls to be alone, and Olivia tells Marky the truth.
That she picked dare, and her dare
is to fuck Lucas.
Fuck Lucas.
Yeah, I totally got dared to fuck your boyfriend, and I have to, or else I'll die. So I guess you gotta let me fuck your boyfriend. Nice. Way to get it, Olivia.
Man, that's such a ripoff if other people are getting dared to do circus acts on their roof and not die. And hers is just like, fuck this dude you think is hot.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
And Marky's all like, why didn't you pick truth? You could have. And Olivia's like, because. She says, I picked dare so you guys wouldn't have to.
Right.
But then she lies. That's a lie. And she tells Lucas, here, let's introduce this random thing. I guess it ties into stuff we've already learned earlier. But she tells Lucas. That was a lie.
Sex, or is this before sex?
I think it's before sex.
Before like this kind of like sexy sex scene.
Yeah,
that's just in the middle of this movie.
But she says she didn't pick truth because she has a secret that she, if she told Marky, it would like fuck shit up.
Yep.
Cool. So they have sex after Marky storms off, very upset,
see these
understandably.
Hot body doubles just going at it.
I can't tell if they're body doubles or not. It's shot in a way. I don't know.
I just assume they're body doubles.
If I don't see a face, I assume it's a body double.
Yeah.
But it's pretty racy. This has got to be unrated.
Side boob.
A little bit of side boob. Maybe side nipple.
Some like, yeah.
There might have been side nipple in
there.
She's
on top.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sex scene.
But of course, the sheets are covering her butt.
Yes, exactly.
So we can't get too
like
crazy.
Like you do.
Like you do. And then, to make it even less sexy, her face turns into Snapchat face while she's riding him.
While he's still inside of her, she turns into that creepy face.
What a boner kill.
Boner kill.
Damn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she says truth or dare, and he's like, truth?
Yeah, who do you love? Who do you really love?
Yeah.
Me or Marky?
And he says Marky, which like...
He says Marky.
Dude, I just lost all respect for you. Sorry.
I mean, I kind of believe it. He's
why?
Kind of, I don't know.
He's kind of a pushover?
Yeah.
He's kind of lame?
I think it's kind of a thing where she's treated him so badly that it makes him want her more because of reasons.
I guess.
You know,
hopefully he grows out of
that,
it.
Yeah, he seeks that approval.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that bums Olivia out pretty bad.
Go Go back to the dead dad video that Marky's watching.
Marky's at this taco stand on Western because the street sign's in the background, which is really sad. She's just kind of by herself at this all-night taco joint watching this video of her dead dad.
Who starts talking to her.
Yeah, the video starts talking and he turns into the face and is it truth or dare? Does he ask?
No, I think he's like...
He's just talking to her?
He's just talking to her like, why do you always watch this or something
I think he asks... oh, no, it is truth because she picks truth. Yeah. Okay. And the question is, why do you keep the gun I used to kill myself with?
I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you. You got confused. That's okay.
And she says, because I think about using it on myself sometimes.
That makes sense. That fulfills a bunch of questions for me. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You win this one, truth or dare.
Yep. And then the demon says, maybe you should get it. Get it.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah.
It'd be cool. Olivia and Lucas head off to the border to try to find the survivor, nun. And they find her and her granddaughter, who is the same. I saw it was the same actress whose like picture was in the photo.
Oh,
was
okay.
In the newspaper, yeah.
That's cool.
So her granddaughter is watching over because she hasn't said a word in 50 years.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, wait out here. I'll go talk to her. And then there are like all these dissolves.
For an hour. It's kind of weird, yeah.
There's no point to it.
No.
There's dissolves showing them like pacing around the house, waiting outside. And they're like, it's been an hour. Why? Why not just have them come in? And the granddaughter's
because
like...
because the grandma was like writing wrote a stuff, bunch of stuff.
Didn't take that... Honestly, when she was like, sorry for the wait, sorry for the hour-long wait, my grandmother was writing something for you. I expected a fucking manifesto. It's two fucking pages.
Yeah.
You could write that in five goddamn minutes. I don't care how arthritic your hands are. Why have them wait for an hour with these stupid dissolves?
Yeah.
Shorten your movie. It doesn't need to be an hour 40 minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
Find places
to
edit.
Thank you, James.
You're welcome.
So then they meet with this nun and she explains just basically why this is all happening.
Yeah. And you know what? This is a garbage fucking scene. This is exposition that is literally written out by one character and then read
by another character
aloud by the other characters. How fucking boring of exposition delivery can you get?
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Lots of just kind of quiet pauses while we're waiting.
Yeah, for her to write. And then, like, Lucy Hale will be reading something, and she'll, the nun lady will, like, motion for her to pause and, like, write a little addendum sheet and then hand it to Lucas and he'll read it. And it's like, why didn't you write in the first place?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, what took you an hour?
What took you an hour?
Yeah.
What took you an hour, lady?
What took you an hour? So, we learn that she was at this church. She was a nun, and there was a priest who led the congregation, and he was a nasty priest.
He molested
and
them.
He played weird hide and seek games with them.
Oh yeah.
And the ones that he found, he touched in bad ways.
Did old fucker.
And so then one of the nuns says, I know spells and stuff.
The way you said that sounded like this up to a shitty joke. So one, the nun
says,
I know some spells.
She knows spells, and she has one that will be able to protect them from this priest.
Because it summons a demon.
It summons a demon.
Calyx?
Calyx, yes. And it, because...
I wonder if that's a real demon.
Is this one, I think they, what happens is the priest says, we're going to play, basically, truth or dare. Which, you know, I was legit in the trivia. It said something about how the game Truth or Dare has been around in some form for hundreds of years.
That makes sense,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think the priest wants to play Truth or Dare or some version of it. And what happens is Calyx the demon possesses the game itself.
Okay.
We are told this is a thing that can happen.
Demons possess people, places, objects, even ideas.
So that was what led to the slaughter? I don't know, man.
So what I think what happens is one, you know, a nun gets possessed by Calyx and they kill the priest, and then all the nuns are like, "Yay, we did it."
They but chop
then
that Calyx priest up.
That's right. They chop him up and hide his body.
That doesn't come into play.
It
later,
doesn't. It's just a weird
it's just
detail.
A detail, yeah.
But then Calyx wants to keep playing because he's a trickster demon. and he wants to just play games and won't go away. And that's why everyone gets murdered, because he just keeps... It's AJ just starts Truth or Dare. They all end up killing each other and killing themselves because he possesses their game of Truth or Dare. So then the nun who summoned the demon, which we learn is the nun who survived, she is able to stop it, which I don't know why. Is it ever explained why she does this after all of her friends are dead?
Maybe she didn't find out.
She didn't
about
know.
Till then.
Did she have to do some research to figure
Maybe.
Out how to stop
Let's just
it? We'll assume
that's
the best
case,
of
yeah.
her. She learns that she has to recite this spell 7 times and put a sacrifice in a jar and seal this jar with wax and keep it hidden away.
Yeah.
And that kind of locks the demon in.
And the sacrifice is her tongue.
Her tongue.
And then she opens her mouth and she ain't got no tongue.
That's
why
she
she's
hasn't
silent.
Talked since then.
Yep.
And the, yeah, so the only person who can stop it is the person who originally
released
summoned,
the
released
demon.
The demon. And she says, I think, you know.
Says.
She writes. Or implies.
Chelsea's so mad at me, listeners. Yes. if you don't have the video aspect, you just missed her eyes rolling back into her head so hard.
The only person who can provide the sacrifice and entrap the demon and end the game is the person who originally...
Yeah, and so she shows the clay pot that that contained the demon. I don't know if she made, what, a fucking replica of it or some shit? Whatever.
Yeah, there's a bunch of these
but,
clay
yeah,
pots.
But Lucy Hale's like, I've seen that before with the green light on my phone.
Yeah.
That she was checking out in the beginning when they got to the mission in the first place. They found a broken urn
that
looked just like that. And then they're like, wait, didn't Giselle mention her friend Sam was trashing the place? Mm-hmm. Sam must have broken that
Sam
pot.
Sam broke the pot.
And released that demon.
Released
the demon. Where was Brad when they went to the border? Oh yeah, did what he like leaves the movie for a minute because he's like, don't worry, I've got some time before it comes back around to me, so I'm gonna go handle my dad and you guys figure everything else out.
I'm gonna go handle my homophobic dad. Let's go.
I'm gonna go not have to shoot some days so that they don't have to pay me for those days. You guys continue on with this movie.
Yeah, so after we get back from the border, we're in Brad's apartment. I remember it's his apartment.
Oh, he doesn't live in that trashy house of theirs? Is it a nicer place?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Or maybe he's at his dad's place.
I don't know.
But his dad walks in and dresses as a cop. His dad dresses a cop this whole time. It's so funny. He's never not dressed as a cop. Just even when he's at home, he's dressed as a cop.
He like goes downstairs to talk to his dad outside.
He goes downstairs to talk to his dad. And that's when his dad turns into...
Oh, wow.
Scary face.
Didn't expect that. And you only have one choice. He can't do truth.
Right,
because
that's right.
Lucas and Marky both did truth.
Yep, so he has to do dare. And his dare is to grab his dad's gun and point it at him and make his dad beg for his life.
Yeah, so I love Brad. I love Brad because he does this so fucking smooth. He's like...
Yeah.
He's like... his dad is like, you're still my son. And he's like, dad, actually, there's one thing that like I need from you. Just give me this hug. And they hug, and then he like gets the gun.
Yeah.
And he's like, so like he's doing it, dude.
And he's like, I'm sorry, I have to do this. Yeah. I need you to beg.
Just beg.
Really, please.
I'll explain later, just beg. And his dad's like, well, how will that make anything
better? And his dad's
better?
All stubborn and not doing
Yeah, and
doing
won't
it
beg. And Brad's just like, please just fucking beg, and I'll explain later.
It was a rare moment in this where I felt a little something. You know?
Yeah, I felt a little something, man. This and the rooftop scene were like the best ones.
Yeah.
And
character stuff.
Yeah. And even though Penelope like was hardly a character.
Yeah.
She was just
yeah.
party girl.
Yeah.
But eventually, and I you know, I you see
yeah.
this coming.
I mean, gets, you aim a gun at a cop.
Yeah. Like, he gets shot by his dad's
yeah.
partner. Also, that dude is not his dad's partner after this.
Oh no.
Oh no.
He's
You're
getting
not,
transferred.
Yeah, you are not fucking patrolling with the kid who with the guy who killed your kid after this one.
Yikes.
Because his fucking partner headshots Brad in the back of the head. Yeah, he did not shoot to maim. He shot to kill.
Yeah.
But I think that's what cops are supposed to do.
I think so, too.
So, yep. Brad's dead.
Yep.
Sorry.
So, that's
when... down to just the love triangle now?
Yeah.
And I wrote down, this game is smart.
I did, too. Who says that?
I think it's Lucy Hale.
Oh,
I
Olivia.
I think she's like, this game is smart.
This game is smart.
It's, yeah.
Yep. So, they all figure at this point. The game is doing stuff like it did to Brad, where it's setting itself up in a way where they're going to die no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
In the police station, don't forget that this is when it gets to it's another round of truth or dare, because Lucas asks Olivia. Lucas turns into Scary Face and asks Olivia truth or dare. This is at the police station. I promise.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, you're right. I see. Because, yeah, the three of them are standing there. And it's so funny because Lucas is Spooky Face and we see it from Lucy Hale's point of view and he asks her truth or dare. And then it goes back to like not Lucy Hale's point
Marky's
of view.
Marky's point of view.
Yeah. And they're Lucy Hale's like, Lucas just asked me. And Lucas is like, no, I didn't. Smash cut to Lucas's face being like,
yeah,
it's pretty funny.
And yeah, so he has truth or dare.
She says dare.
And thinking.
This is the best fucking workaround. Anyone who's played truth or dare
knows
this.
How this works.
If you want to get the person
to
truth.
I say house rules, you're not allowed to do this.
Oh, yeah, those are your house rules?
Yeah, because what's the point?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if you really want to get a truth from someone.
You say, I dare you to tell Marky that secret that you don't want to tell her.
I'm glad that was included in this movie because, like, that always happens
that
in truth
always
or dare.
Happens.
So good job, movie.
Yeah.
And so apparently the big secret.
Good Lord.
We
saw this kind of coming.
We called it when she said, because she said, like, I have a secret so huge that it would ruin Marky's life and I can't tell it. And I'm like, what, did she kill her dad? And then we were like,
no.
Kinda, huh? And we were like, dude, did she fuck her dad? And she fucked her dad.
No, she didn't.
What?
No, what happened is...
Please explain.
Yes, I will explain. Something happened where she ended up at Marky's house. I think she had a shit day. I forget what prompted it.
Yeah.
And he had just gotten fired, I think, or laid off. And they're both, like, sad. And then he offers her a drink. And they both get drunk together. And he...
Calls her beautiful.
He calls her beautiful. And he tries to kind of make a move on her. And she says no. And he keeps trying. So, like, basically tries to rape her, like...
Sure.
Almost.
Yeah.
And then...
his daughter's friend, yes.
Yeah, his daughter's friend. Yeah. And he stops, and he realizes what he's just done, and he's freaking out, and she, you know, Olivia's all pissed and says...
I'm gonna something. Tell Marky, or...
She says something to the effect of, like... I think he says, like, I want to kill myself after... You know, after what I've done, it's so horrible. And she says, well, you know, you're better off dead than Marky ever finding out what you did or something.
Sure.
Oh, and this is when we get the reveal that Sam is still alive and it's Carter. Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know.
We know, movie. We figured it out. We're
okay.
Good.
Okay. And then, Marky goes back to looking at pictures from her shoebox and she's got that
she's
gun
got that,
that
gun
she mentioned.
That she goes to grab and
it's
she sitting,
like points it at herself.
It's like pointing at herself and then Olivia's like, no, we're best friends.
That.
You can't kill yourself.
We're still best friends.
And then Marky's like, you're right.
Shit.
We're best friends. I'm not going to kill myself.
Trim this shit movie.
So then they go and kidnap Sam from his apartment.
Shitty apartment.
His Better Call Saul. Was it Saul's brother? Or
oh, his dad.
His dad has the super tinfoiled up apartment. Electric signals.
Lucas is like, oh yeah, I hope he got rid of all his mirrors too then. Because Penelope had a mirror. But Lucas is like, three of my best friends are dead because of you. Dude, you count on Ronnie? Because...
Oh, did he?
Well, it'd be what? Penelope, Tyson...
Brad.
Oh, and Brad. Okay.
We're
okay,
not
good.
Counting
I'm
Ronnie.
Glad.
Yeah.
I wrote it down because I was like, why do you include Ronnie? You didn't include Ronnie.
No.
Three of my best friends and that dude who annoyed
and
us
Ronnie.
All the time.
You know Ronnie.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's better. Yeah, fuck Ronnie. Three of my best friends and that dude who had a bad break. So... They abduct Sam Carter and they take him to the mission and they're like holding him at gunpoint and they
make him read the spell that he has to say.
Why did this movie make it that you have to say the spell seven times?
I know, because then we have to sit through them saying the spell seven times.
Because he says it once and
just
she's
make
like
it three.
Yeah, just make
it
three.
Make it three and then it's less time.
He says it once and she's like, say it again. And he says it again and I'm like, he has to say this five more fucking times.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, the building is starting to collapse.
It's like shaking and shit. Ooh. Yeah. And then while he's doing this, he Snapchat faces Lucas because it's Lucas' turn. Mm-hmm. And Lucas has to do Dare?
No, he picks Dare.
He picks Dare.
Okay, that
this is so. I wrote why pick Dare in all caps. Because remember, Lucy Hale just picked Dare.
Yeah.
So two more people can pick Truth.
Two more people can pick Truth. And then stop. Like you can stretch this out because he's almost done saying the spell. By the way, my notes. I have a note that says Lucas picks Dare? ? Before we got to this point, I thought that it said Lucas picks Dave, and I was like, I really don't remember what that is. I'm just going to skip it. But yeah, it's Lucas picks Dare. What the fuck?
Why does he fucking pick Dare?
Because plot, James.
Yeah.
And he says, he tries to justify it.
Yeah,
because they all are like, what the fuck, dude? Why would you do that? And he says, well, it's so you guys wouldn't have to. Well, yeah, we wouldn't have to either way because we're almost done with this spell.
Yeah, we're almost about to end this shit.
Yeah.
And it's not like the person after you has to pick Dare either. We got two truths in a row to burn through.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. And of course his dare is to fucking kill one of them.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yep.
That's second for me for things that anger me in this movie after the poor handling of the coming out
scene. I think he has to, his dare is to kill Sam.
No, it's to pick one of them to kill, right?
Oh, because
he doesn't want to kill.
Right.
He doesn't want to kill either Marky or Olivia, so he tries to run away so that he'll just die by not doing the dare. But instead, they like chase after him, I guess, and then he ends up like they're holding him down to prevent him from doing the dare. And I'm like, yeah, that kind of works, right? If you can't,
yeah.
But then I guess he's demon strength, and he throws him off, and he stabs Sam.
Yep, who it's Sam, by the way.
Had finished the seven and was starting
to
cut his
tongue off. He was
starting
to cut his tongue off.
Because Lucy Hale was like, you gotta do this.
Yeah.
Which, like, sucks, but, you know, you can do it.
Yeah.
Do that instead of dying. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, Lucas stabs Sam.
Before he can entirely cut his tongue off.
Mm-hmm. And then he just fucking slits his own throat. It's a pretty good throat slit.
Yep, so everyone's dead except Olivia Marquino.
The best of friends.
Yep. And they realize after a really convoluted scene, again, we don't need all this, where she's like, okay, if you pick Dare and you do this and blah, blah, blah. And they try and kind of work their way around.
Yeah.
But basically, I'm just going to skip all that because it's not important.
It's really dumb.
It's dumb. But basically, they realize it's the demon says there's no way for you to win.
Well, because
this.
Olivia asks him truth or dare. She's
yes.
like, Calyx, truth or dare.
Yeah.
You're playing too.
Yeah.
And he says truth. And she's like, how can we stop you?
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't.
You can't because Sam is dead.
So that's it?
That's it.
I guess it goes until they're dead. So they could, for the sake of humanity.
They could, for the sake of humanity, kill themselves.
But because the message of this movie is
very nihilistic.
Very strange. Because this whole movie, people are telling her, they're telling Lucy Hale over and over and over, you think too much about other people, you need to start thinking about yourself.
And we haven't just hammered home this whole movie that Lucy Hale, guys, she's so good. And she just loves Habitat for Humanity and helping
She's such
homeless.
A good person.
And she wants to just help the world.
And that's
world.
Her biggest problem. Really, what's your biggest flaw for Lucy Hale? It really is. I care too much
I
about
care
other
too
people.
Much. And what they do to basically lift the curse off them and...
Because the demon is like, it'll end when you guys are dead, or you can just prolong your turn by
you
getting more people into
players.
The game.
So what they do is they put a fucking vlog, pretty much, on her YouTube channel saying, explaining the game and how they got pulled in, and now the entire world is part of Truth or Dare.
Yeah, also
everyone watched it on YouTube.
Yeah, it like goes to Japan and like Brazil, and all these people are watching.
I might have imagined it, but I feel like there's that Times Square shot where it's the video playing in Times Square and everyone's watching it.
Basically, it feels that way. Also, how'd she get that many viewers on a fucking video talking about
edited hour long video
on a channel that was devoted to Habitat for Humanity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yes, the end of this movie is her selling out the world.
Yep.
Infecting the world.
Yep.
Because you see a pair of girls watching the video, and then when she's finished, and she's like, I'm sorry, everyone, but truth or dare, and then one of the girls' face gets all
fucking
stupid.
Yeah, and that's where it starts.
And
presumably the entire world kills itself.
Yes. Great.
Good ending. So basically, what she did was she did the opposite of that truth that she did in the very beginning, where she said she would kill herself and all of her friends to save Mexico.
Nope.
But
she did the opposite.
She did the opposite. Which, you know what? I think that's a little clever.
It is.
Just that turn.
Sure.
But.
Yeah. A movie doesn't need to have a nice message. I don't know what, it doesn't really have a message. It's just irony. I don't know. Whatever.
To there being a message, because I don't think there is one.
No. This has gone on very long.
This is so fucking long.
Yeah, so this is probably as long as the movie. And so if you want to point out in the comments about how I told the movie they needed to edit it down and how our podcast is similarly length and not edited down,
I'll edit
feel
it
free.
A little bit, but yeah. It's still going to be long.
It's very long. That's fine, though. Yeah. I hope it was worth it. I hope you enjoyed this.
God.
I had a fun time talking about it.
Yeah, I had fun watching it.
I had fun watching
it. It's absolute trash.
It's an awful garbage movie. Am I glad it got made? I ask myself.
I'm a little glad it got made.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just want, you know.
You just want trash?
Sometimes I don't want a good horror movie.
Sure.
And sometimes I want one that is, you know, it's for teens and it's stupid.
Yeah, this is for teens. It was written by a committee for teens who Googled teen language and,
yeah.
and stuck a bunch of those words in the script. Mm-hmm. They got Lucy Hale.
You know what? You know what?
Beloved actress.
What disease is relatable? All teens know what it is.
Shingles.
Shingies.
Fucking shingies. Yeah. I'm glad it exists for us to watch. Yeah. I've watched a lot of boring bad movies.
Yeah, this is very silly.
Yeah.
Very, very, very silly. You kind of have to see it to believe it, I think. Yep.
Let us know if you watched this movie and if you liked it. Ironically or not.
Let us know if you wouldn't be mad if we just reviewed Cry Wolf right after this.
Or if we just reviewed this whole movie again.
No.
Take two.
Oh, God.
But we have a fun idea for next week.
Yes,
we do got to kind of get ahead of it because, again, we're going
we
out
have,
of town.
It was a last-minute thing where we have to go out of town for
I'll
a
be in Austin
weekend.
For RTX.
Yeah.
So if you're in the area or going to that convention, the Rooster Teeth convention, hit us up. Let us know.
Yeah.
We can probably do... Barton and me probably do a little meetup like before or after that panel.
I think so.
Probably right after that panel.
We'll make something work out.
I'm on the Crypt TV panel where mm-hmm. I think we're showing Look-See Season 2.
Oh, cool.
It might be done. So, yeah, if you are going to that convention, make sure you see that if you want to see Look-See Season 2, which I'm in.
Yeah.
Check out the trailer for it right now. I'm all bloody.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a lot of fun.
The trailer is really, really cool.
It's very well made. Landon, the director, great work.
Yeah.
Great guy. I loved working with him. Fantastic eye for that kind of stuff. So shout out to Landon. Great man.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you want to, we got some stuff in
there. I think it's too long. We'll do it next time.
Okay.
I'll sorry. I mean, quick shout out to Camden from Nebraska. We got your package. It's fucking great. I want to show it off in more detail on the next podcast.
Yeah, because
okay.
This one's too long.
Yeah, but quick shout out to you, dude. You're very creative and very awesome.
Yeah.
So please keep doing what
We've
you're
got,
doing.
You can kind of see their stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a little teaser for you back there. We'll go through it more next podcast because I want to give it the attention it deserves, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of this hour and 45 minute long recording.
That's right. All right. So thanks for listening. Be sure to rate and review us on Apple, iTunes, podcast, or whatever app you use, and subscribe to the Dead Meat channel on YouTube, and follow Dead Meat on social media at Dead Meat James on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm at Carebeck, that's CAREBECC on Twitter and Instagram.
And
and if you want merch, deadmeatstore.com.
Yeah, we're going to be rolling out some new stuff soon, so keep an eye out for that. And until next time, I'm James.
I'm Chelsea.
And this has been the Dead Meat Podcast.